speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Our Lord informs us in Luke 8, verse 18, and in Mark 4, verse 24, take heed how you hear, and take heed what you hear. And listening to religious teaching, we should have an open mind, and we should have a desire to know the truth. Likewise, we should weigh every word that is spoken, and then compare it with God's word. I ask you to do that. We should never accept any teaching solely because we hear it from a religious teacher. And we should follow the instructions of Christ to take heed how we hear and what we hear. And these words of our Lord are especially applicable to our study of the conversion of an army officer this afternoon, and that's the conversion of Cornelius. How many times have you heard it said that a man who believes in God, who pays his debts, helps his neighbors, lives a clean life, good to his family, is going to be saved because of his goodness? Well, Cornelius was such a man. Yet it was necessary for even this good man to hear words whereby he and his family might be saved. Acts 11, verse 14. Cornelius was a centurion in the Roman army. He was stationed at Caesarea in Palestine. The divine record says he was a devout man. This is remarkable in view of the fact that he was an army officer in a heathen army. Not too many men in modern armies can measure up to the standard of this devout centurion. But Cornelius was not only a devout worshiper of the true God, but he had brought up his whole family in the same religious habits. He was not one of the worshipers of the Lord who are so timid about their religion that they make no effort to teach their families. The Bible says he feared God with all of his house. This expression included, no doubt, his servants, because it said that he called to him two of his servants. His influence extended to the men in his command, for some of his soldiers were said to be devout. He was not one of those worshipers of God so common in the world who forgot their neighbors or the needs of the poor. For we are told in Acts 10, verse 2, that he gave much alms to the people. Now, there are many men in our day who are benevolent, who have no religious inclinations. They have inherited a kind disposition, perhaps, from good, pious fathers and mothers. And they've been brought up from childhood to have pity on the poor. But in addition to all this, we're told that Cornelius prayed to God always. This good man's custom was to pray. Not just before he went to bed, or not just before he closed his eyes, or not just at some leisurely hour, not just before meals. But he was one who prayed to God always. And the heavenly messenger instructed him, verse 13 and 14 of Acts 11, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Well, you may ask, did Cornelius need to be saved? With his being a devout man, one who prayed to God always, one who gave much alms to the people? Exactly. He did need to be saved. After all that is said about his excellent character, he had committed sins. And no man can be saved without having his sins washed away in that fountain filled with the precious blood of Christ. Cornelius had never come in contact with the blood of Christ, and so he was lost, regardless his moral goodness. Some have suggested that Cornelius was saved because God answered his prayer. But look at the answer. The angel did not bring him word that his sins were forgiven, nor did he leave him rejoicing in the forgiveness of his sins. Instead, the angel said, you send for a man who will come and tell you words whereby you and your family can be saved. So we conclude from the answer to his prayer that he was praying for God to help him find the way of salvation. Now, most preachers today will tell you that Cornelius was saved when the angel appeared to him. But suppose that next Sunday Cornelius should go into one of the churches and say to the preacher, I'd like to apply for membership in your church today. I'm ready to tell you my experience when the time comes. At the close of the service, maybe he's called before the congregation to testify of the angel speaking to him, and maybe we'll say, I've been for a considerable time a devout man. I think my neighbors can vouch for the fact that I fear God. I've taught my family. For years I've given alms to the poor. And about 3 o'clock, an angel appeared before me and said to me, Thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Well, friends, with that experience, many would accept him. But that's not the situation. He was told to send for Peter, and he'll tell you words whereby you and your family can be saved. Now, why did an angel tell Cornelius that he needed to send to Joppa? Why didn't the angel just go ahead and say, your sins are forgiven? There's a reason, a very definite reason. It was not God's plan. When Christ gave the Great Commission, he ordained that men preach the gospel into all the world, to every creature. And Christ would not tell sinners directly, in a personal way, what to do to be saved. They've always been guided. And this very thing was what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he said, We have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. That's why the angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius. God limited his work to the bringing of the preacher in, and then the preacher would face the sinner and tell him words whereby he could be saved. When the angel directed Cornelius to send men to Joppa for Simon, he acted upon that. Although it was now past the middle of the afternoon, Cornelius didn't hesitate. He started the three messengers at once on their journey. Now, they couldn't get to Joppa that night, but they began and got there about noon the next day. Well, as these men travel from Caesarea to Joppa, we wonder what effect their coming will have on the Apostle Peter. As yet, the Jews did not understand that the gospel was worldwide and intended for all people, including the Gentiles. They knew that Christ said to preach the gospel to the world, but perhaps they thought that was to be to the Jewish world. They believed that in obedience to God's law, they should not receive into the church an uncircumcised man. So in view of this, we ask, what will Simon say when these messengers come from a Gentile Cornelius? Will the apostle say, No, I can't come with you? Well, something had to be done if these messengers were to bridge the gulf between the Jewish and the Gentile world. And God's going to do something to do that. While the messengers were on their way to Joppa, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. And while he was there, he became very hungry. And while they prepared the meal, he fell into a trance. And he saw a sheet let down from heaven, and in that sheet all manner of beasts and creeping things. At this point, there came a loud voice to Peter saying, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, call thou not common. You'll find this in Acts 10, verse 13 through verse 15. While Peter thought on the meaning of this vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men come seeking thee. Arise, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Acts 10, 19 and 20. It was evident to the apostle that the purpose of the vision was to convince him that he must go and preach to the Gentiles. So the Jewish apostle must not be bound by racial ties. He must never again consider the Gentile nation to be common or unclean. When Peter and his company came to the house of Cornelius, the Bible says, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter said unto him, No, Cornelius, arise, stand up, I'm also a man. The apostle was not willing to have anyone bow down before him in an act of homage. After the greeting between Peter and Cornelius, the apostle went in and found many that were come together, Acts 10, verse 27. The army officer had gathered the people together, and they were ready to listen. When the apostle saw the people, he said, You know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation? But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me, Acts 10, 28-29. It's at that point that Cornelius answers, Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What an audience! Assembled in the sight of God, ready to hear the message and ready to obey it. Well, Peter gave them the message. He said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10, 34 and 35. And then he told them words of what they were due to be saved, how that they were to be buried with Christ in baptism, to have their sins washed away. And Cornelius, although already a devout man, a God-fearing man, is given the words whereby he and his family could be saved. He was baptized into Christ in his obedience to the Lord and had great rejoicing because of that. We must learn to render obedience to the will of God as well. We must give our hearts attention to God's truth. And we need to be obedient to that word, for by refusing, we will be sealing our eternal damnation, our eternal destiny. But by being obedient, we can have in this life the more abundant life and everlasting life with the Lord.